You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
This rhetoric about make America great again. Tell me when America was great and we'll go back there. I'm going with you.
Critical.
Hang on, let me change some words here. All right, ready? Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held. Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
You women have a flame coming out of your vagina. You talk about being hot. Well, you sure not gonna be hot. You're gonna have a flame shooting out of your vagina. You're gonna need asbestos panties to stop that.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Good morning, everybody. If it is indeed a good morning.
Yeah, I wouldn't use that terminology today.
Hey, this is going to be kind of a shit show because we are really just throwing this together at the last minute here. We're going to vamp. We're going to walk all over ourselves here.
We've had no sleep.
I've been up all night.
Stressed to the max.
So first, give me a minute here. I'm going to send a link out to some folks who I know are wanting to watch or listen in. And we have some folks that are going to call in, some listeners planned on calling in. And we just wanted to get together and kind of have a decompression session and talk about this insane election that happened yesterday. We were, I think, all completely stunned.
Mm-hmm.
Never in a million years would I have dreamed that I would ever be saying the words President-elect Donald Trump.
No way. No way.
Never in a million years. We went into this thing, and all of the pundits, all of the forecasts, 73%, 538 had 73% Hillary Clinton going into yesterday.
Yeah.
We all expected a landslide.
Right.
And then this thing that happened. So, listen, if you want to chime in, 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724. We will do our best to take as many calls as we can. If you're watching in and you see that we are in a call with someone, just be patient and wait. I'm not really sure what will happen if you try to put one call on top of the other.
It might go directly to voicemail. Not sure how
that works. So... and again, share the link if you know anybody who you think would be interested in this conversation today. I'm going to try to be, I don't know what the word I want to use is. I don't want to make arguments from emotion, if that makes sense. Right. So there was a conversation already today. With someone who is a Trump supporter that I had, and you know, their sigh of relief was, oh, thank God it wasn't Hillary. And again, for me, this whole election has been, nobody has ever come out and said, vote for me because I'm this. It's always been, vote for me because that guy's terrible. We can't have that guy. We can't have Hillary. She's a crook. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Right.
But I don't get it. So here we are today, and we're trying to figure out what the hell happened. And I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start. I'm going to finish. You start. I'm going to finish putting this out on social media.
Right. Okay. you want me to start? You want me to start? Well, how do I start? You know, I think everybody was up all night wanting to know which way this was going to go. How do you wrap your head around this? I can't. I cannot. And I think I mentioned to you the other day, it was starting to scare me maybe 2 days ago, because it seemed like there was a massive increase in Trump supporters that were becoming more visible across social media, just driving through the community, more signs, more bumper stickers are popping up. Where did that come from? Why? Is it this Comey guy that reopens the investigation 3 days before the election and then says, oh, just kidding. I don't know. But it's scary to think that there's so many people that are motivated by hate. And whether you voted for Trump because you agree with the kind of person he is, or whether you voted for Trump to not vote for Hillary, it's still a vote that's motivated by hate, in my opinion. Because if you hate Hillary that much that you would put the hands, those, you know, the country in the hands of that crazy lunatic, you know, I just don't understand. I just can't wrap my head around it.
Right. You know, I would love to read this article, but because of like copyright and stuff, I'm going to not. But I'll put a link up at some point. In fact, if you search through any of my social media, I posted this at least 10 times last night.
Yeah.
There was an article by David Wong on crack.com. A while back, like this has been a few weeks now. And his theory, based on astounding evidence, is that all of this political nonsense boils down, when you strip away all the layers and boil it down to its essence, what we're really talking about is the difference between urban and rural. And basically, he describes it as, you know, these, and I, he came, he grew up in a small Illinois town in red Illinois. And he talks about that. And he talks about how it was a one industry town. And once that industry dried up, the town was just an empty shell. And I grew up in a small Illinois town, very much like that. Now we didn't have the industry in our town immediately. But I know what it's like coming from Trump country. You know, the people that I grew up with are probably Trump people. I would have probably been a Trump people had I still been in rural Illinois.
Right.
And so now that I've moved into the blue city, I can see both sides of the fence a little bit, right? So his point was, if you look at the map, right, all of these people talk about red states and blue states, but it's not about red states and blue states. You should look at the county map. The county map.
Ooh.
Did that ring through to you? The county map is the one that's important. Stand by, caller. The county map is what's important, because if you look at the county map of any state, of the nation, what you see is blue islands wherever the major metro areas are. In seas of red rural America. And we'll come back to that in a minute. I've got area code 321 on the line. You're on Sarah Talk Live. Good morning.
Good morning, Sarah. It's Autumn.
Hey, Autumn. How are you?
Doing okay.
As good as we can be, right?
I can be this morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell me what's going on. How are you feeling this morning?
Largely disappointed, but also a little scared.
Yeah.
And just, it's not so much Trump that I'm scared of. I'm plenty scared of him, plenty angry with the fact that he made president, but it's more of his followers, his supporters that I'm scared of.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who are going to be out in the street doing whatever violence, active, passive, whatever it is, they're the ones who are going to be out there.
Right.
And what makes me the most upset about Trump being president is the fact that it just gave all of these prejudiced people extreme validation from an entire country saying that their way of thinking is okay. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And he said some awful things throughout this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody posted a really great thing on Facebook last night that was basically, it said, you know, how am I going to sit down today and explain to my teenage son that he should respect women when the president-elect of the United States clearly does not? How am I supposed to teach my kids that we should respect people of all nations, of all colors, of all backgrounds, when our president-elect does not, and go down the list of minorities?
Exactly. This is going to be our Brexit.
Yeah, right.
Right, yeah. It's scary. It's really scary. And like you said, Autumn, I feel the same way about Trump. I don't think he's the worst of this. I think it's the people that are following him. I mean, you look at his rallies. He was out there threatening people that were protesting his rallies. Mm-hmm. And you know he's not going to follow through on those threats. It's going to be the people that are idolizing him that are going to go and do it and be, oh, look what I did for my president. It's a very scary world that we had to wake up to today.
So I guess the question is, you know, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? The concession speech that we heard, I think, if you think Trump is an outsider, was kind of unexpected. It was not Trump-ish at all. It was very clearly politically written by a staffer, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And they said, you're going to fit into this box tonight, and this is how you're going to play this. You know, and he said, look, I don't dislike Hillary. I don't think she's a horrible person. She fought really hard for the things that she believes in. And that's how this thing works. And now I'm ready to get to work. So I think we saw a completely different Trump in that speech. Now, the question, I guess, is going to be, you know, is it how it's going to be?
I don't know. What do you think, Autumn? Because I have no idea.
I think Trump is willing to say and do anything that gets him more power.
Yeah.
Because that's his modus operandi that he's already showed.
That's true.
He will say anything to get him more supporters.
And I think what's more insane about it is that's exactly what we said of Hillary, too. Like, she would say and do anything to get more money, more power.
Sure. That's, you know.
I miss Bernie Sanders, damn it.
Me too. This would be such a different show had we just gotten our Democratic pick.
I'm telling you, Bernie Sanders would have mopped the floor with Donald Trump's terrible hair last night.
Then he would have went back and dried it, too. Oh my gosh. All right, well.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the biggest concern for me is this. It's not really Trump. And like you said, it's the supporters, yes, but it's also that Mike Pence is the vice president elect now of the United States. And that, for my people, is some scary shit.
Sure.
If you're listening to this thing now, and you've been a listener of the show, you'll know that Mike Pence is the curator, the activist behind this terrible bill in Indiana.
The pioneer for all anti-transgender bathroom bills and
you're
beyond.
Right. And laws that say if you own
the discrimination.
Yeah, if you own a bakery and you don't want to bake a cake for a gay wedding, you just cry Jesus and you don't have to. That's this guy, okay? Mm-hmm. And while it's
therapy.
Yeah, yes. Gay conversion. Right. So and not only that, but you know, in the name of religion, right? It's giving religion a free pass to do terrible discriminatory things. That's what this guy is about. And now he is the liaison between Trump and Congress, which by the way, also flipped Republican. That's what scares me. The laws that could be written
right
in that short window here while
had we gotten the House
a Republican
to go Democratic, it wouldn't have been as scary. Like, you would have still had your crazy radical supporters of Trump and your right-wing conservative extremists, but the laws wouldn't be in such a vulnerable place right now. And all of these things that they want to do,
right,
wouldn't be like, oh, well, now they have a fighting chance to make lives hell for people.
Exactly.
Well, Autumn, we sure appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts with us. You know, hopefully we are all just grossly overestimating this thing. And, you know, I don't want to make arguments from emotion. Mm-hmm. I really, really don't. We could be terribly wrong here. It's very possible. Trump, most of his life, has really leaned to Democrat. He's probably more of a moderate in between both parties. And, you know, again, was he just saying what he needed to say to get the people in the country to vote for him, to get them out in droves? I'm going to send the people. I mean, the things that he was saying, right? Again, you have to take yourself back into the mindset of someone who lives in a poor rural area. And imagine that the oil refinery there closed down 15 years ago and the economy has been shit since, right? Now you're telling those people, you're telling these people who are in despair that not only am I going to bring you prosperity, not going to tell you how, I'm going to bring jobs back. And not only am I going to bring jobs back, I'm going to take those dirty fucking Mexicans who are taking your jobs and send them back home too. So there'll be more jobs for you to get. Now, whether any of that has any basis in reality or not, if you have been in a 15-year drought working for minimum wage somewhere because your factory shut down, that sounds damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The majority of my family is in a very small town up in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And that is their exact line of thinking.
Yeah.
He's promised us to bring back these things that we had. So why not?
Yeah. I don't know.
Anytime a creepy guy makes a promise, it's probably not going to end well. Just putting that out there.
I don't know. I mean,
I hope we're all wrong. I really do. I really hope we're all wrong for the sake of everybody, but yeah.
We're all wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Is the whole thing, is Donald Trump right? Is the whole thing rigged to the point where it really doesn't matter what you do anyway?
Right.
The train's going to roll down the track.
And that, doesn't seem like it's too far off. I mean, when you look at what happened in the primaries, how did he, of all people, beat out all those other Republicans?
Right, the establishment
that were
Republicans.
Like, you know, true conservatives in some cases. Like, how did he, with even before the comments on the bus came out, like, he just has a history of being very much not the picture of a decent human being.
Right.
Let alone somebody that would lean towards the conservative side. So that alone, how did he do that? Or was he the pawn that was supposed to lose to Hillary, but it backfired on the people that put him in place? Like that, you know?
Well, and one of the things we talked about earlier before the show was there are two avenues for the establishment Republicans. Okay. Option A is Trump comes in and says, hey guys, listen, I knocked off what, 13, 14, however many people run against him?
Oh.
Like, I knocked off over 10 of your people, right? The party has changed. The people don't go your way anymore. I, Donald Trump, am the new Republican Party, and you better get in line. That's option one. Option two is the Republican establishment people go to Trump and say, now that you're our boy, you're in the good old boy club now. And here's the boxes you need to check now. You need to do these things and fall in line with us. And I don't know if he's wild card enough to go, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
I don't know, because it seems like he's so wishy-washy with things.
Yeah.
Like it goes back to that saying whatever he needs to say to get the vote, but he, you know, there's so many clips of him just in this election. Take away everything that he's said in the past and just the things that he's said during this campaign. There's so many times he's contradicted himself. And that's not even putting it next to things that he's said in the past and now he's saying something different. That's just in like the last 2 years.
Right.
So I don't know. Like maybe he's just not, he can't play the part that they wanted him to play. And because I don't think he knows where he stands on half of these things.
Autumn, where do you think we go from here? What do we do now? We've got to turn around and go out and live, right? Somehow.
Yeah. We basically have to live just day to day.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
I hear it's nice in the Philippines.
The Philippines. No, listen, if I leave, I'm going to Norway or Sweden or someplace. Yeah. My kid's going to get a damn good education.
Yep. You got it.
All right.
I was thinking Canada.
Canada's nice. They have the best damn coffee ever.
This is true.
So there's that. Tim Hortons. I should get a dividend check promoting Tim Hortons.
Maybe we can sign them up as a sponsor.
Yeah, right.
They could at least send us coffee if we're going to mention them every...
We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Autumn, I really appreciate you taking some time to give us a call and chin up.
Not
you know, keep your head up today and hopefully we'll get through this next 4 years.
Yeah, we're all in this together, so...
Yes, absolutely. All right. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
You too.
Mm-hmm. Bye. So one of my friends, Shira, from Canada.
Canada.
Well, that's what I call it. She reached out to me today. And so I started kind of a group of people that I was following last night on social media and said, hey, guys, we're going to do this live thing if you guys want to call. And hey, there's another call. Stand by just a moment there and we'll be right with you. And she sent me a flag, a Canadian flag that says the new American dream. And she says, I think you need some cheering up. Still your address? So I have a feeling there's going to be some Tim Hortons in our mailbox.
Nice.
So there's something to look forward to there.
Shira, thank you.
I think we've got
that's what it is.
I think we got Amanda on the line now. Amanda, welcome to Sarah Talk Live.
Hi.
Hey, good morning.
This is so fun.
Is it a good morning? Isn't it? I want to do, more live broadcasts.
You know how it goes.
Yeah.
Maybe next time we can have a better topic to discuss on our live broadcast.
Please. So give us our take. You did you stay up last night to watch the election, or were you one of those that kind of woke up and went, oh shit?
No, I went to this restaurant with a friend and I sat at the bar because I don't really have cable and, you know, had some drinks and watched it unfold. And I kept thinking, you know, my friend and I kept thinking the entire time that Hillary was going to pull through.
Yeah.
I've actually been for Hillary since 2008. Mm-hmm. I voted for her in the primary. And I don't know. It's been weird to feel like a minority.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, I'm just a basic white chick. but I was really one of the only people that I know who supported Hillary.
Right.
And so I don't know. I guess I figured that everyone would come together because seriously, all the people who spoke out about Trump, seriously.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But nope, it didn't happen. And so like I went to bed at like 10 last night. I'm in Texas, so, you know, I'm an hour behind y'all.
Mm.
And I woke up at like midnight because my phone started to just blow up. And then I stayed up for another 3 hours just looking at my phone. And whenever they called it at like 3 a.m., I went to bed. Oh, gosh, terrible. But, hey, there's something really cool. I'm at work right now. And I have a coworker who is, you know, staunch Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And we pretty much differ about everything. But she came over to me today whenever she wasn't busy, and she gave me a big hug, and she said, I just want you to know that, you know, I'll always love you. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I started crying.
Right. That's great.
I was kind of dreading going to work today. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been so much division and vitriol and hatred in this campaign that I think, you know, for all of us who are in the classic minorities are terrified to go out in public again. I mean, people posting these videos of, I don't know, did you see the one where the guy who was like out of his car screaming, you know, inward this, inward that at the guy that cut him off or some nonsense? Like this, it just, the race relations, the sexism, it just doesn't stop.
No.
You know, for... Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say that there's just so many memes on Facebook, you know, about the fact that this is what happens to women.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how much experience you have, no matter how much you really are more qualified to do the job at hand, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Right. You
and
know,
yesterday, whenever I was at work,
go ahead.
Watched like hours and hours of a live stream of Susan B. Anthony's gravestone.
All those people and, lined up putting the sticker, voting stickers.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
So cool.
Yeah.
It was like, it was like an hour and a half line to go and place the sticker on her gravestone. And it was really, really touching. And you really thought that this was the turning point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Rude awakening.
Right. You know, I sat up watching this thing, and the entire time, I kept waiting, well, she's going to pull it out any minute here.
Yeah.
And then it got down to like the last four states. And well, when Florida was lost, and I will stop right now and apologize for my state. I'm originally from Illinois, but I live in Florida now, so I'm going to own the swamp, right? We're a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
Idiots. But I kept watching this thing, and I kept thinking it's going to turn around any minute now. But for me, it was like watching the season finale of a reality TV show. Like, this is what Trump does best. Like, he knows how reality TV works. And so I felt like, I mean, you couldn't have planned this thing out better to run right up to the end and just push and push and push to the last few states, neck and neck, neck and neck each time. And then, like, I just kept expecting, you know, at first I expected Donald Trump to go on stage and go, Hillary, you're fired. Right?
Yeah.
I expected a little bit of that. And then I expected Ashton Kutcher to pop out from somewhere and be like, hey, y'all been punked. Just kidding.
Here's Bernie.
But here we are with President-elect Donald Trump. I don't know what happened.
Well, when he took Pennsylvania,
that
was
the... I can't ever see myself calling him President Trump.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I guess it says a few things. It says... truly, anyone can be president, right? He was a kind of a political outsider. And this year, really, in this election, the political outsiders were the strong runners, you know? You had Bernie put up a good fight on the left, and Trump just trumped the right. But I wanted to talk about one of my friends who the minute he was a Bernie bro, and the minute Bernie got... you know, pushed aside, then he was all about Jill Stein, right? And here's what I wish people would understand about the American political system. We have this thing called
I think we're talking about the same person.
That's probably you do. There's this thing that we have called the Electoral College. This is not a democracy, right? The popular vote does not always necessarily translate into the winner. Okay, so we have this thing called the Electoral College. Now, where I'm from in Illinois, I didn't vote for all of my 20s living in Illinois because living in the red rural area, we knew it didn't matter what you did anyway because Chicago was going to go blue. So why bother? My parents didn't take me to vote. We didn't learn about the political system like through my parents that way. It just wasn't a thing. So for these people who want, and believe me, let's have a third party. Let's have a fourth party. I don't care. Let's be like the UK and have 15 parties. But in order to get there, we have to be smart and organize ahead of time. Not this last minute knee jerk shit, right? So a third party has to have 5% in order to be considered in the next election, right? So fine, you want the Green Party to be a viable third party candidate in the next election 4 years from now. You don't do that by voting for them everywhere, okay? I can throw away a vote on a third party candidate in Illinois because it's going to go blue no matter what you do. Right? So you can afford to put that vote into the third party bucket to build up their percentage. In Florida, you cannot afford to piss away a vote on a third party like that. You just can't.
It's true. I don't know. I think that that's what happened.
Yeah.
You know, because there's just so many states where, you know, there's a good 2-3% that went to Johnson.
Right.
And Florida's one of them. And it would have helped tremendously if she would have gotten Florida.
Oh,
that was
absolutely.
Oh my gosh, that was so stressful.
That was like the turning point. Oh, once they called Florida, I was like, oh, well, shit.
They called Pennsylvania. Yeah. And Pennsylvania has a history of going blue. Mm-hmm. And they called it for Trump. So that was when I looked at the map and I went, oh, we're doomed.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know if that was before or after they called Florida. I think like maybe an hour before they called Florida, because I grew up in Broward County and they were waiting on Broward County. So I knew. I'm like, there's no way. Trump got it because I know Broward County.
Yeah.
I know nothing else about Florida. But like, that's the thing. Like, it was so close the whole time. And Pennsylvania started with like, that was Hillary's firewall, and she was going to take Pennsylvania, and it started with 1% reporting at 81% for Hillary, and then it just crept it just crept all the way over to the other side, and I'm just like, holy crap, what is going on here?
How did all the polls get it so wrong? Like,
right.
That 538 website?
Yeah, 538 was way the hell wrong. They lost all credibility.
Yeah, a lot of them. I was reading an article about that this morning about how all these polls were so wrong and why, what happened.
Right. Well, it talks about the accuracy of exit polling, right? I think especially in this election, you had a lot of people who were voting for a candidate, Donald Trump, that the other 50% of the country thought was a racist, sexist, homophobic jerk. And so the last thing you're going to do walking out of a poll when somebody sticks a microphone in your face and says, who did you vote for? I'm fucking telling you. I'm not going to tell you nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So did enough of them just keep their mouths shut? Or when they got the phone call, they said, I'm undecided. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. Like, in mass numbers to have been that wrong.
Well, and even social media, like even when you looked at the Facebook polls, like they were showing Hillary by a landslide.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, you've got to factor in that the electoral vote messes the numbers up a little bit, but how did it get so, like, I think there were a lot of people that were supporting Trump that were just not owning up to it, which is, you know, that's fine. That's your right to go into a polling place and not, you know, it's nobody's business who you vote for, really, if you don't want to share.
Did you see all those memes of Donald Trump, like, leaning over and looking at Melania and his son?
Did you see the one that I posted, the two of them?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't think it's that they weren't trusting their wives. I think it's that neither one of them knew how to read, so they were cheating off of their wives. Well, you know, you got to laugh about these things any way you can find.
Yep. Well, I don't really know what happens now. We just try and move forward, I guess.
That's the big question. Like, what do we do now?
Well, here you go. I got something.
Yeah.
One of my friends posted this. It says, statistically, One of every two people you meet today is hurting and afraid. They are afraid for their rights, for their loved ones, and for America. Show kindness to everyone you meet today. And if you can't do that, just love every other person. On a day like today, that's just fine to do.
Yep.
So.
It's true.
That's all we got to do.
All right, I got to get back to work.
Well, we appreciate you calling, Amanda. Thank you so much.
Good. It was good to talk to you.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. And that's fun. All right. Let me put the call out. 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724. If you want to call in, give us your thoughts. You can also send an email. I haven't been checking that, but it's on the scroll here. producer@sarahtalk.com. I'll start checking that, I promise.
Sure you will.
Shush. So let's see. I have some things from social media here that I wanted to share from some friends. Let me mark off some if anybody's called. Nessa said, I don't know if I can give a testimony without breaking into tears. My heart is so sad and heavy for all the kids waking up this morning, ready to face school in the faces of gloating Trump kids who don't know any better. I sadly think this is the wake-up call that we needed. Too many people have been living in denial with their fingers in their ears, screaming that everything is okay, making such an important process into a joke, voting for a fucking dead gorilla, for example. SMH, I'm in shock, dicks out for Harambe. I added that last bit in. That wasn't us at all.
Whoa. I mean, I know she can be pretty.
So there's fun. That. But right. So, I mean, this election, if nothing else, proves that your vote absolutely does matter, and paying attention to the political process is important, and being involved is super important. And for all of those people who were like, you only get excited every time the presidential election rolls around. Well, maybe that's what some people need to get them started. Right. So give them that and then watch them for the next few years and make sure that they stay engaged in the political system and the issues that they care about. For example, we did have Florida actually, for as fucked up as this state is, we actually did a few things right this year. We had a few amendments that I think we voted the right way on, probably all of them. Who you got?
No, I don't know.
The first two is solar and pot. Now,
oh,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
So
you talk about the solar.
All right. You want to talk about the pot? All right. So the solar amendment was written in Florida, was written by the electric companies in a sketchy way to make you think that voting yes for it was actually going to be a good thing for you when it was only a good thing for the utility companies. And I was terrified that the word would not get out broadly enough that that's what was happening and people would go to the poll. Because I think by and large, a lot of Americans don't, like, especially in a presidential year, which is why they put it on the ballot this year and why they wrote it the way they did, that people are more concerned with who the president's going to be and they don't study anything else. So you go into the polls and just walked in there and read the thing, it looks great for Floridians.
Sure.
But apparently the word got out and we voted that piece of shit down.
It was really tight there for a while, though. I was watching that one and going, oh my gosh, because for like the first few hours, it was trending that they were going to pass it.
And the other one was the medical marijuana.
Okay, so in Florida.
Yes.
And it wasn't just Florida. It was Florida, North Dakota, and Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
All approved medicinal use for marijuana. So if a Trump presidency gives you anxiety...
Right.
Find a doctor. Well, and you can just float through the next 4 years.
Here's what I said. I said I was going to stop at the doctor's office on my way home to petition for medicinal marijuana. I don't know if it's available yet or not, but I was going to go ahead and get my name on the list.
Right.
And when the doctor said to me, why do you think that you need medical marijuana? I was going to say, because last night I got bent over and fucked in the ass so hard that I really, really need some pot to make it all go away. Like, fucked in the ass with a cactus last night.
So, another...
Sorry for the visual.
Yeah, just stop right now. So okay, now for our friends that are out in California, Nevada, and up in Massachusetts, you guys legalized recreational use of marijuana. Woo-hoo! So, find a good dealer, and you guys, that's going to be the highlight of your 4 years for...
Right, and if any of you wants to send me a private message and ask for my address, you can ship me some of that, too. So the other thing, anyway, so what I was going to say about Florida, the one thing that we've done well. Carlos Guillermo Smith, who was, he was the governmental affairs manager for Equality Florida, was elected as Florida's first openly gay Latino state legislator.
Yes.
So we've got... a champion there, at least, of all the things that we didn't get, we got that. Let me read another one from social media. Lauren, who's a teacher, says, my students are shaken. Thankfully, they are writing an essay today because I can barely talk and they are downtrodden. Mm. First period is ending right now, and I had two students cry to me already, one black, one Hispanic. And I don't know how old these kids are, but, you know, I had somebody
it's first period, also this morning, middle school.
So. I had someone ask me, you know, basically they said, kids don't know what's going on. So, whoa, lots of kids know what's going on. And I played them the Halloween clip of the Trump Clinton kids.
That was really funny.
Right. And where, you know, are you Donald Trump? Yes, I'm Donald Trump. And I'm Hillary Clinton. And he goes, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but you don't, like, that is Donald Trump.
It is.
And this kid learned that by watching the election.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, we should be able to sit our kids down in front of the political process at any age and it be civil enough. That they, you know, that they're watching Sesame Street and not Cinemax.
It shouldn't have to be rated. It shouldn't. Right. You shouldn't even need parental guidance for anything that has to do with the presidential election.
Yep.
Like, and I don't care that you have to be a certain age to vote. That has nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm teaching my children that we're in America and this is how America operates, I should not feel scared to let them watch the presidential candidates.
Well, and there are classes, you know, middle school, maybe even younger, I don't know, that as part of civics lessons are given, you know, papers to write about the election.
Right.
They're given assignments to follow it.
Mm-hmm. And how do you, as a parent, in your right mind, let your child watch this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I think if I had a child that was of the age that was coming home and having to do reports on this stuff, I would have very strong feelings about not letting them do that. And you know what? If it means you have a lower grade because of this, I'm sorry. I can't. Like, there's something fundamentally wrong with the rhetoric on both sides. And it's always been that way. Like, there's always a lot of mudslinging.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In politics and, you know, especially centered around elections. But this has just been absurd amounts of, there's just no excuse for this kind of.
And this has been an election like no other.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not old. Just checking, make sure you weren't going to, you know, say something mean to me. I'm not old, but I don't remember any election years being as awful as this one.
Like, the last one was pretty rough, but this is like a whole new level of just downright dirty.
Right.
You know, I just, And maybe it's because you have a candidate like Donald, that I, and you know, Michelle Obama in all of her grace said, when, what did she say? When they go low, we go high.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, at what point do you, as Hillary Clinton, and I think we all saw the cracking point when she, I think it was the last debate, she finally like jabbed back. But I think by then it's too late. The damage is already done. So I think, you know, in at least California, Nebraska, Massachusetts, North Dakota, Florida, and Arkansas, now when they go low, we can get high. I don't know.
Some only if you have a prescription for it, though.
Well, you know.
All right. So what did you think about this? 224-407. 224-407-2724. Wow. It's been a long night, y'all. 224-40, Sarah. What do you think about this? Right shortly before they call the thing, the chair of the DNC or whatever he is, the chair of Hillary's campaign, gets up and says, "All right, guys, it's been a really, really long night. We're all kind of tired. So why don't y'all just go home and we'll come back at this tomorrow?" What do you think about that?
Well, I think this, it was very interesting as I was watching, I think it was NBC. I was watching their coverage.
Okay.
Because we don't have cable and or TV or any of that. So I had to find whatever was available on YouTube live streaming. So I went back and forth between NBC and CNN.
Yeah, I was on CNN most of the night.
Yeah. I was watching NBC because Tom Brokaw was there. And he's just like a familiar, soothing voice. And it was putting me to sleep. So that was good because I needed a little bit of sleep. I think I got an hour total. But anyway, that's besides the point. But like to watch the end of it, right, as they've got all this handful of states that are too close to call. And they kept saying it's too close to call. And they were saying the AP called this state. But I think they're going to redact that or whatever.
Right.
Or retract that.
Right.
But it was interesting because they kept saying nobody wants to talk first. Like, you're not going to see Hillary get up there first and concede. You're not going to see, you're going to see Donald Trump get up there and claim victory before Hillary concedes.
Right.
But traditionally, the losing opponent will call the other opponent and concede. And then,
which she did.
And she did.
After they told everybody to go home.
Right. But like that was the thing. I think they were just at that point where they were waiting. Hillary Camp was waiting to see what Donald was going to do. That's kind of the way I perceived it. And Donald's camp was just waiting for Hillary to say, "All right, you win." I thought it was, you know, and they were showing the pictures of these people. Just, you could tell Hillary's camp was just exhausted and tired and disappointed, pretty much how we all feel today. And they had been at it for hours and they were expecting, you know, that they were going to have Hillary Clinton, Madam President, around
by
1 a.m.
Right.
Like 1 a.m. That's what their expectation was. So here we are, almost 3 o'clock, and they're going, "Yeah, you just need to go home." So you could just see the disappointment in the room. And I actually turned it off at that point. I didn't see him when they called it.
Oh,
because I was like, well, they're sending him home. So I turned it off, rolled over, and then my phone starts going crazy. So I like look at my phone and I'm like, damn it, I missed it.
Well,
but like all the leading up to that, that's what I think. I think they were just waiting on each other to make the first move.
So the crazy thing for me was CNN then, and I'm going to say I get it because I did work in radio during an election cycle and I've had to fill, not alone. I was the producer, for crying out loud. I didn't have to work that hard, but I've seen what the process looks like when you have 6 or 8 hours to fill of dead air. Like, like it's just you and a microphone and go, right? So CNN spent the next like 45 minutes arguing, bickering about had this been the opposite, right? Had Donald Trump got on the stage and said, hey, listen, everybody go home, we'll talk tomorrow. The Clinton camp and supporters would have run him up the flagpole for it. And yet, if since Clinton did it, it was no big deal. But like they spent 45 minutes right. talking about this.
Yeah, like, and I don't know how true that is. Like, I think at that point in the night, everybody was so tired. It was such a close race.
Facebook just notified me. Jesus.
What? That you have new congressmen?
You have new elected representatives. Yeah. Find out who represents you. Thanks, Facebook. You're great.
I got that notification like a half hour
Thanks,
ago.
Thanks, buddy. Oh, I just got mine a minute ago.
Interesting.
Fine. Be like that.
Anyway. But no, I mean, you know, in that dead air, this was the thing I thought was really interesting. NBC's people they had the map and they were at Rockefeller Center and they had the map projected in lights on the ice skating rink. And it looked cool.
Yeah.
Looked really cool. And then you had your guy that was in charge of the map and finding all of the paths to victory for the different. And like, there was like four states left and this guy's still going, well, there's still a really, really narrow path for Hillary to win this. And I'm like,
it's over.
It's
guys.
Over, dude.
It's over.
Like she lost Florida and Pennsylvania. And what do you got left? Alaska with like, what do they have? Three electoral. No, it's done.
Yeah.
It's- like even New Hampshire, all of those that kept going back and forth. Like they were, even though they were going back and forth, most of the trend.
But is the media in order to call right. it and not have to go back on it later.
Sure.
Not have to walk it back if you're wrong. You have to wait. Here's another crazy thing that I wanted to talk about. In Florida, I saw again as I was leaving, coming home this morning. In Florida, 30-some% of Latino voters voted for Trump. Who the fuck are these people? And
do they realize this is their last vote ever?
Right? Like, I've been jokingly saying this all along. Like, if you look Spanish, bye.
Right.
I mean, we were joking night at work. Yeah. The guy's like, you know, I mean, I do third shift cleaning. So a lot of my people are from other countries originally or Puerto Rico or whatever. And that's been the big joke all along has been, well, it's been nice working with you. Jorge, I'll see you later. You're going back home. David, our friend David.
David.
I tell David all the time, like, brother, you are the first one on the train home.
He needs to be.
But not to home, because Trump doesn't know the difference between Puerto Rico and Mexico and Spain.
He just gets shipped off to wherever.
Right.
I'd be in the hair salon getting my face peeled and my hair bleached. And
but it makes me wonder, right, so where's the cross section? So if 30-some% of Latino voters in Florida voted for Trump, what else does that intersect with that I'm not seeing, right? Are these people in areas where is this the rural population where jobs have been lost
right.
and he speaks to them by saying we're going to bring jobs back?
Especially in Florida, you do have a lot of people, is it migrant workers that are of the Hispanic population.
Yeah.
You have people that are here, you know, and their rest of their family, they're trying to get
right
to come from other
yes.
countries to, you
yes.
know, so they might be here legally working towards a citizenship or mm-hmm. they've already gotten their citizenship and they're just trying to work to get their family here because
right.
this is the American dream.
Yep.
And if you have a candidate like Trump that's saying, I'm going to make America great, again, whatever that means,
right?
You know, is it a language barrier? Is it an ignorance barrier? Is it they just hear this guy who's going to make America great, and they don't really know necessarily
what that means.
Entails,
right?
Because all they know is that what's going on right now isn't necessarily what's been working for them.
224-407-2724 224-40-SARAH. If you want to call in and talk to us, please do. We're just kind of rambling on here talking about the election. I do want to say one thing about Puerto Rico, who, if they don't become the 51st state, so they, and I apologize, it's been a long night and there's been so much information, I didn't really look at it, but the new leader of Puerto Rico has, I don't want to say claimed, but he has promised to fight to make Puerto Rico the 51st state. Okay. Now, if Puerto Rico doesn't become the next state, it should it should sell itself to Canada. And I'll tell you
Absolutely.
Why. Because Puerto Rico, of all the American property, there are 20 some states where election day, you are allowed 2 hours off of work to go vote. And as long as you don't have 2 hours before or after your shift that you could vote. So in those 21 or however many states there are, 20 something, low 20s. If let's say the polls open at 7 and you work at 9, they go, well, you have 2 hours between 7 and 9, you can go vote. But otherwise, if you do not have 2 hours on either side of your shift to go vote, they give you paid time off to go vote during your shift. And the rest of the country, most of us don't have laws. Some allow you to go during work unpaid. There's one place in the American territory where Election Day is a holiday and the majority of the people don't work, and it's Puerto Rico. And yet, we treat them like shit.
Yeah.
Their economy is in the shitter. And what is America doing to help them? Nothing, because we go, man, they're not a state. What do you got?
So, making Puerto Rico a state. So, this one is District of Columbia in their referendum. They had one amendment. And it said, they wanted to advise the council to petition Congress to admit D.C. into the Union as the state of New Columbia.
Oh, Jesus.
And it passed at 86%. So, will it be a race to see who gets to be the 51st state?
God.
Which, I don't know why that hasn't even happened yet. It's like...
Right.
Seriously, they've been wanting this for years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. One more from social media. This one from Bryn. The main thing about all of this that I've been saying all along is, how did they let this happen? They will never let him become president. Or Donald is playing us all. He's going to turn around and be like, fuck you, idiots. I have been voting Democrat for years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still hoping for that. Oh, that would be great, by the way. I just don't understand. It seemed to me like he was trying every little thing he could, saying every outlandish, disgusting thing to prove a point or something, that he can say the most disgusting thing and Republicans will still vote for him. Honestly, it's sad. But I truly feel that this election, no one took him seriously, and he swooped in and won. And it's directly related to the third party vote. He is the most vile human, and it makes me truly sad that my way of thinking is clearly the minority. As a white, heterosexual, middle-class woman who was born and raised in this country, I have not had to experience much in terms of hardships due to my circumstances. However, for the first time in my life, I truly don't feel welcome in my own country, knowing that so many of the people here voted for this disgusting pig. We have 8 beautiful years under the Obama administration, and I truly hope he isn't able to reverse all the work Obama has done. And I will sidle right up against that and say, amen. The Obama has done a lot of things for the LGBT community that I am terrified of losing, and one of them is his advice to the American school system that says if you have a transgender child, you are to treat them as the gender they perceive themselves to be. It's a gender-affirming stance that the Obama administration's taken. And God, if we lose that.
Well, going back to the first part of that thought where, you know, hoping that Donald Trump is just going to go, you know what? No, I'm...
Yeah, right. Just kidding.
I'm voting Democratic. Whatever. That would be great. And, you know, I thought that for a long time, and when in the beginning stages of this, I thought, well, you know what, maybe this is just this. He knew he couldn't get in on the Democratic ticket, you know, so he thought, well, let me go this way. And I did. I thought that way for a long time. Maybe this is just his way to get in there and get to where he needed to be to win the presidency. And that would have been great. But when I kind of lost faith in that scenario was when he announced Mike Pence
as
his running mate.
Exactly.
Because
right?
that's
it's the opposite of all
the
of that.
Opposite of
right.
any. So, yeah, that's a great thought. But I really don't. I'm not going to hold my breath waiting for that to happen because it just doesn't seem like it's going to be a thing.
Kimberly says, congratulations for literally telling your beautiful nation that she wasn't great. Congratulations for handing it to a wicked celebrity who's all in for inequality. Good job. Congratulations for your greed. But who says it will be boring? Now time to sit back and watch the freak show. And if there is any good to be seen in this at all, for a show like ours, and do not be mistaken, we are not a news show. We are not a serious program. Mm. Like, this is entertainment. This is comedy.
Right. When we cover news, but you know, it's not for the purpose of
exactly
actually sharing stories.
So the good news is, in the next 4 years, there will probably be lots of funny shit for us to talk about.
Well, that's what I was thinking last night as this was all like closing around 4 o'clock when I'm trying to get back to sleep. I'm like, well, it's going to give Stephen Colbert and John Oliver and all these guys some really great, like, we're going to be able to have guys like that are going to be able to make us laugh about this crap.
Right.
Because while it's very difficult and depressing to think about how bleak the future looks with this outcome, at least, like, there's guaranteed laughter somewhere. I mean, Saturday Night Live,
Baldwin just signed a contract. You know he did.
I can't wait for Saturday Night Live because those skits have, you know, they've been great. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. But at least there's a little bit of, you know, laughter that we can find in it. And speaking of laughter, I just saw this. This is hilarious. It's a picture of Steve Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, and the winner is Donald Clinton.
Jesus.
So, you know.
Yeah, there have been some really funny images, memes on the social media overnight. You just have to, right?
Was it Randy Rainbow made a really good status? Hold on, I'll find it. It was good.
Would I get a vamp now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Who did I read here? Kimberly. You know, something that Kimberly said about, you know, telling your beautiful nation that she wasn't great. And I've said this before. My thing about Donald Trump and his Make America Great Again is this. When was it great? It was great if you were a white Christian male. Heterosexual,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's when it was great. It's been great for those people for a long, 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 long time.
Nobody else.
But anybody outside of that, and no, this country has not been great.
And they're hunting dogs.
What did they allow you to exist here? That they're not... So, are you trying to say that America is great because while homosexuals didn't have the right to marry, at least we didn't have religious extremists pushing them off of roofs? Is that what you're trying to say was great about America? I'm here to tell you, there has not been a day that America has been any greater than it has been right now. And each day we have to move further towards that. They're going back is the wrong direction.
I think the people that came up with Trump's slogan were a little too optimistic. I think that, you know, somebody in that room had to say, let's make America a big fat joke.
Yeah.
Or a great big joke. Or, you know, and then they're, well, let's, you know. Mm. So it's sad because there's so many people that jumped on that bandwagon that didn't jump on that bandwagon because they're bigots or racists or homophobes or whatever. They jumped on that bandwagon because they have this idea in their head that there's something wrong with America. And I like to think that America is great, or at least it was until last night. I don't know what the future holds now, because now you got somebody who's encouraging racist behavior, sexual predatory behavior, mm-hmm. You know, homophobic behavior. Like, He encourages this in everything he talks about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to make America great. I don't believe that for one bit. It's very, very scary.
Well, and you know, that's where we have to turn, right? There's got to be a pivot, and we have to drag ourselves out of the sorrow and go, all right, so now we're going to turn around and move forward. What's this going to be like? And, you know, I think... we have to be even more involved than we've ever been, right? In the process. You have to get involved in organizations that are going to fight for things that you believe in. And that means investing time, investing money, whatever you can do to get involved. Mm-hmm. We have to do that now. And here's the other thing that we really have to do. We have to organize, right? The only way, so fast forward, right? The Republicans do whatever the hell the Republicans are going to do because they're going to do it, right? Fast forward 4 years. Now we have a re-election campaign, Donald Trump versus who the hell knows who.
Yeah, because is right? Hillary going to do this again?
Because Bernie is going to be 106 years old.
Right.
He's not, and you know, look at people who go into the White House. I said this to somebody earlier. I said, who the hell would want this job? Honestly.
Oh, well, yeah.
Who the fuck would willingly put your name in the hat for this thing? You go in this young, mm-hmm. hip, full of energy, and right. you come out gray and withered and just beaten down. And it doesn't matter what side you're on, because constantly from the other side of the aisle, you're just getting a barrage of beat down the entire time. Mm-hmm. And you're worried about national security and wars overseas and all of these other, you're literally carrying the weight of the free world on your shoulders.
Right.
Who the hell in their right mind would want that job? Nobody. Enter Donald Trump.
Makes me wonder if he's still going to be orange in 4 years.
I don't know. Well, orange with a tinge of gray?
Maybe. I don't know. So I found that Randy Rainbow thing, back to the political comedic satire. He says, the bad news is I had an amazing Hillary victory video ready to go. The good news is I now have 4 more years of material.
Right.
But that's...
Right. That's where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, we got to suck it up and deal with it. And there's going to be...
We've had Republican...
Right.
Owned Congress before. We've had a Republican presidents before. We've had Republicans in power. I think what feels different for me in this time and space is we have never been on the cusp of such equality.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's why there's so much fear, right? Yeah. Because you have people on one side of the fence, and I'm going to make some grand generalizations here, but you have one half of the group who says, I believe in religious-y things and I don't want you to take that away. Also, don't take my guns. And then the other people on the other side are a rainbow, literally, of other things, of race, of other religions that don't hang on a cross.
Right.
Sexualities and gender identities and all of those other cultural minorities that are on the other side.
That don't fit into the cookie cutter of a conservative Christian.
Right. And so I think we've seen both
American.
Of these pots just kind of mm-hmm. both boiling and simmering. And they're just to the point now where on both sides that's bubbling over. And we're at a point where somehow we are going to have to figure out either how to reconcile those two things, right? How do you still get to be a Jesus-loving bigot that hates faggots, and I still get to be a lesbian trans woman who needs to go to the bathroom and doesn't want to get shot? How do we do both of those things? Well, we don't. That's the problem. We're at a point where somebody has to give.
Well, and that's the thing that just... So, with the exception of the religious-y things, like, you know, I feel like we are a country founded on freedoms, freedom of religion. That's a big thing. I should be able to believe what I believe, and you should be able to believe what you believe. And that should never cross. Like, there's a big thing, like, a lot of companies have policies in place where when you're on the clock, you do not talk about religion and politics. And that's how these companies keep themselves running. Because if you are at work and you start talking about religious things and political things with your coworkers and you have two opposing views, you spend more time arguing with each other and then you have less productivity. So productivity, efficiency, your attitude, all of that goes down and it affects the business. And I feel like if we ran our country that way,
right?
If religion was something that you do in the privacy of your own home or in your church with like-minded people and it didn't overflow out into other parts of the community,
then we wouldn't have a problem.
And if your political stances were something that you did during election campaign season and in your private polling booth, and you know, then it wouldn't be a big deal. If we could just find a way to keep those subjects somewhat bridled. And mm-hmm. yes, it's okay to be passionate about something.
Sure.
But know that when you come in and you want to have a conversation with something, like if you come to my house and I'm an atheist and you want to spray the Bible at me, you have to understand that it is my right to tell you
you're a fucking idiot.
Respectfully. Thank you. I'm not interested. And then at that point, once I say, I don't want to have this conversation with you.
Right.
If you don't walk away, you be prepared for me to tell you, you're a fucking idiot.
Right.
Get off of my property before I call the police.
Right.
You know, but like we have to be able to have these conversations like adults.
Right.
And keep it at a civilized level somehow.
Right.
That's the only way that we can all coexist.
Yep.
I just don't think it's possible, especially now with Trump as president.
And there's just so many differing ideas out there, you know, and we all kind of band together with those that are similar to ours. And you talk about religion, which we do often. The United States is becoming less and less religious mm-hmm. by and large in general. You know, and so I know that plays into a lot of those fears too. Going back to that article I mentioned, it cracked. People in the country typically are religious people. And when they look at the city, I've been there, I lived it.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the city from that perspective, you see this atheist, heathen land of misfits that just they're out of control and they're crime and they, you know, they have no moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how you see things because the city and the country are just so damn different.
Yeah.
Right. But more and more people are giving up that faith. And I think, and this is where we have the problem for me. This is where I have a problem because you know, I have to be able to say, look, I don't want you to come push your Bible on me. But if you're going to get into the conversation, I am definitely going to tell you, this is my position. This is my science. These are the reasons why I believe what I believe. Now, because of my science, I had a conversation today with somebody. You know, I said, because of my scientific worldview, I require evidence. Now, you believe in Vishnu, Krishna, God, Allah, whoever you want to believe in. If you can present evidence to me,
mm-hmm.
I will gladly change my view. But you have to present compelling evidence. And religion doesn't have that. But there has to be a way to have that conversation. And that line has to move. We either become more religious or less religious as a group.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to stay where it is with this grinding 50-50 split that we have happening. It's going to change. And unfortunately, in order for that to change, it will get ugly.
All right, I got something. You ready?
All right, and we're about done. We're coming up on time here. It's an hour and 15 minutes. I need to go to bed.
Yeah, you do. This will... All right.
This will fire me up for another hour and 15. Great.
No, this will make you laugh.
Okay.
Canada's immigration website crashes.
Oh, yes. That was great.
Donald Trump. amid Donald Trump.
I can't even do it.
Donald Trump had won the 2016 presidential election, Canada's immigration website suffered a pretty noticeable crash.
Right.
So, yeah, there's that. That's scary. And somebody actually commented on this. Let's see. Where did it go? I just had it. I'm confused as to how enough people hate Trump to crash the Canada immigration website, but not enough to keep him out of office.
Right.
Which is a valid yeah. point. Yeah. Like, how did this happen? You know, did not enough people get out and vote? They thought.
Right.
And did they think that Hillary had
it locked up? So why bother?
Have to?
Yeah.
Like, that was my thing yesterday. And I went and visited my dad before I went to the polling location. We were talking about it, and I said, you know, I just don't want to be that person that if Trump wins by one vote,
it was me.
Yeah. Like, that's why I'm going, because that would be the worst feeling in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So for all you, however many 100,000 people that didn't vote, and
right.
screw you.
All right. So let's wrap this thing up. I want to thank the folks who called in. Really appreciate you guys giving your time and kind of giving us your thoughts. We're all going to take the time, I'm sure, in the coming weeks and months to kind of assimilate this information and how we're going to process and what we're going to do going forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know that if you are different, you are loved. Here, if nowhere else.
Yep.
Right? You have a space with us. If you need to talk, we're doing this thing weekly now. We're on a pretty good schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Please, we want to be a community forum for you. Okay? So let us know as we go along through this next 4 years, you know, let us know where you're at. We really want to keep on. What's the matter with you? We really want to keep in touch and make sure that we can support you in any way that you need. I'm also going to throw out, now that the broadcast is over, wrapping up, you can still call, leave us a message at 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724. You can send an email to producer@sarahtalk.com. And I also want to mention as well, if you want to support the show, you'll notice we have some, see if I can, this will be fun. We have some old microphones here.
This Boop. One specifically.
These are leftovers from when I used to do stage sound. They are not ideal for this broadcasting environment. You can see we have bare walls. We need to put up some soundproofing. There's some things we need to do. And so in order to support the show, we've partnered with Patreon. Patreon is a platform where you, the listener, can support a content producer like us per creation. So at patreon.com/SarahTalk, you can sign up to donate $1 per show or $2 per show. And we release episodes almost weekly now. We're in a pretty good routine. It's not going to be, it won't be more often than that. And you can also set a cap. So if you only want to spend, you know, $5 a month or whatever it is, right? So you can set a limit as well. If you'd rather do a one-time contribution to our show, you can also do that at paypal.me/SarahTalk. So as we leave here, I want to give you one final thought from the Facebook world, from my friend Mark, who says, "I am sorry, children. I am sorry, other countries. I'm sorry, planet. I'm sorry, animals. I'm sorry to anyone who is different. We have failed you." Hang in there. We're all in this together, and we love you. You've been listening to Sarah Talk.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/SarahTalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@SarahTalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/SarahTalkRadio and on Twitter @SarahTalkRadio. Sarah Talk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.